Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 9, Text 32. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Sri Bhishma Uvacha Iti Matir Upakalpata Vitsrishna Bhagavati Sattvata Pungave Vibhumni Susukam Upakate Skvachit Vihartum Prakritim Upayushi Yad Bhava Pravaha. Bhishmadev said, now let me invest my thinking, feeling, and willing, which were so long engaged in different subjects and occupational duties, in the all-powerful Lord Sri Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but sometimes, being the leader of the devotees, he enjoys transcendental pleasure by descending to the material world, although from him only the material world is created. Because Bhishmadev was a statesman, the head of the Kuru dynasty, a great general, and a leader of the Kshatriyas, his mind was strewn over so many subjects, and his thinking, feeling, and willing were engaged in different matters. Now, in order to achieve pure devotional service, he wanted to invest all powers of thinking, feeling, and willing entirely in the Supreme Being, Lord Krishna. He is described herein as the leader of the devotees and all-powerful. Although Lord Krishna is the original personality of Godhead, he himself descends to earth to bestow upon his pure devotees the boon of devotional service. He descends sometimes as Lord Krishna as he is, and sometimes as Lord Chaitanya. Both are leaders of the pure devotees. Pure devotees of the Lord have no desire other than the service of the Lord, and therefore they are called sattvita. The Lord is chief among such sattvitas. Bhishma, therefore, had no desires. Unless one is purified of all sorts of material desires, the Lord does not become one's leader. Desires cannot be wiped out, but they have only to be purified. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 10:10 by the Lord himself that he gives instructions from within the heart of a pure devotee who is constantly engaged in the service of the Lord. Such instructions is not given to any material purpose, but only for going back home, back to Godhead. For the ordinary man who wants to lord it over the material world, the Lord only sanctions and becomes a witness of activities. But he never gives the non-devotees instructions for going back to Godhead. That is the difference in dealing by the Lord with different living entities, both the devotee and non-devotees. He is the leader of all living entities as the king of the state rules both the prisoners and the free citizens. But his dealings are different in terms of the devotee and non-devotee. Non-devotees never care to take any instruction from the Lord, and therefore the Lord is silent in their case, although he witnesses all their activities and awards them the necessary results, good and bad, or bad. The devotees are above this material mode, material goodness and badness. They are progressive on the path of transcendence, and therefore they have no desire for anything material. The devotee also knows Sri Krishna as the original Narayana, because Lord Sri Krishna, by his plenary portion, appears as Karana Dakshay Vishnu, the original source of all material creation. The Lord also desires the association of his pure devotees. And for them only, the Lord descends to the earth and enlivens them. The Lord appears out of his own will. He is not forced by the conditions of material nature. He is therefore described here as Vibhu, or the Almighty, for he is never conditioned by the laws of material nature. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chatsur Mulatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhya Sapitam yena bhutale Shayam rupa kadamayam tadati sapatantikam Vansha kalpa tarubhyascha Kripa shindhu bhayevacha Putitanam pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So greetings from Stuyvesant Falls. I'll be here for another 2 weeks, trying to spend as much of the summer here as possible. It's a wonderful place, and I'm very nicely cared for by Sachi Sutta and his wife, who provided this facility, and very blessed to have such good association. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu is now here, also by Sachi Sutta Prabhu's grace. He gave him the house that Brother Kalina used to stay, and plus the back room. The back used to be the school, was turned into his library. It's really a substantial library. Satyarup Maharaj lives across the street. Jagvaita Maharaj is visiting, and they rented out for 2 days the Veteran of Foreign Wars place. They have a beautiful outdoor pavilion, and they're having a Satyarup Maharaj Disciples Festival. So, a lot of nice devotees here. We're plowing forward with the Bhagavatam, and we're really again. This is we're focused in. And that story of Maharaj Cricket, it naturally went to Krishna, who protected him, and we got a view of Krishna as he's leaving. Hastinapur at the end of the battlefield of Kurukshetra, and we're seeing the real essence of the Bhagavatam, which is what we aspire for, which is love for God, and we see it manifest, and love is manifest in relationships. So the ultimate reality is filled with love, and love has relationships, and relationships are exchanged in activities in relationship to the Supreme Lord. Those activities are called Leela. So we're seeing his Leela. And he's now visiting Bhishma Dev in his last days. Bhishma Dev is lying on a bed of arrows. He could die at will. And after enlightening his grandson, Yudhisthira, both spiritually and in terms of his duties, somehow or other, it's time. God has a time for all of us to leave, and it's the perfect time for us to leave. Although we want to live forever within the body, we can only live forever within the soul. and God is viewing us from the platform of the soul, and how to move the world around us to embrace the soul. And that's why tribulations and difficulties have their benefit, because they shift us from trying to find happiness externally. When the world moves miserably, then that finding happiness by controlling it when it's beyond our control, and it's demonstrated very powerfully how beyond our control, we tend to take shelter of the soul. Happiness not external to ourselves, but happiness coming from ourselves by the way we respond to the world. And it's something that's within our control. Anyway, Bhishma Dev is there, and he has the ability to leave at will. And now he's ready. And we discussed this because the previous purport had about half the chapter of the eighth chapter of the Gita, where it describes attaining the Supreme. So what I would call death tattva has a whole chapter in the Gita, attaining the Supreme, death tattva, the subject of death. And to devotees, death is not non-existence. Death is transition. And if we play our cards right, it's going to a much better place. And playing our cards right is living a life of service and changing our heart. Because destination is based on heart. We move by our heart. We move by our desires. It's almost like a car that runs by desires. It's just that you can't turn on and off desires. Desires are very deep-rooted within us. The process of bhakti is to change our desires to moving towards the soul, which is complete love and sacrifice. That's what the soul is. The soul is part of God, and the soul is meant for service. And that's what the soul is. And the more we embrace that, the more we cultivate that desire by developing an attraction for Krishna and developing a desire to serve, the better our destination will be. So that junction is quite significant. That transition point is quite significant, but it has to be prepared for. And Bhishma prepared for it. He spoke on so many subjects, different subjects, occupational duties. He performed his duty, what God wanted for him. And our duties are either connected to our purification, or in a pure soul, if we take it as a service to set examples for others who are on that level of requiring prescribed duties to purify themselves. But anyway, he did his duties. And then you're free. I was just there. I saw Kaylee Lalita. You know, she got married early. She had three kids. She responsibly took care of those children. Now they're basically more or less older. You know, off to boarding school. One daughter, the other one is in college. And the other one is, you know, playing sports. So I guess they got to drive them around. But did their duty, and now she's free. That's the way it works. It's a perfect system. You purify yourself of desires so that you can be free from their allurement. If you're not free from the allurement of desires, they have to be dovetailed with Krishna. They have to be dovetailed with Krishna. So Bhishma Dev, now he's ready, he's qualified. Yesham Twantakatam Papam Jananam Punya Karmanam Te Dvandva Moha Nirmukta Pachanti Mam Chudha Vrtaha. Tesham satata yuktanam vajitam priti purvakam. Tesham satata yuktanam vajitam priti purvakam. No, that's Tesham. This is Yesham. Yesham twantikata papa jananam punya te dwanda mohini vajanti mam jirabhata. You can become fixed in vajan when you have lived your life and worked through your desires, or either you worked through your desires or you tolerated your desires. Either one. You either have to work through your desires, you have to tolerate your desires. And you tolerate the desires that cannot be worked through. And you work through the desires that can be worked through. Anyway, Bhishma Dev is now getting ready. And he's praying. Prayer is a preparation. Our consciousness moves where our words and body is. So you have to put your words and body in God, and helps you to put your mind in God. So now let me invest my thinking, feeling, willing, was so long engaged in different subjects, in the all-powerful Krishna. He is always self-satisfied, but, and then he talks this wonderful point that to become the leader of the devotees, you have to be, to become, for the Lord to become your leader. The Lord to become your leader. The Lord becomes our leader by directing us on the proper thing to do. That's called Buddha Yoga. The Tesham, now I can do the Tesham verse. Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam prittiputtadami Buddha Yogam tvam. So when you Tesham satati yukta bhajatam, Tesham satati yuktanam bhajatam pretty poor become when you worship with love and God gives you the knowledge, gives you the information by which you can come to Him. Our decisions determine our fate, and our whole life is just a myriad of decisions. And Krishna consciousness is making the decision to please Krishna, or making the decision that Krishna wants, and part of Krishna's pleasure is that we become purified. So to connect with that is the essence of Bhakti Yoga. And those are the instructions that lead us to the soul. Leading us to the soul is leading us back to Godhead. Because when we embrace the soul, means that we want to be a soul. We want to serve Krishna. We want to love Krishna. Then that's the spiritual world. We're not separated from the spiritual world by a physical distance. We're separated by our consciousness. And then God becomes our leader. He gives us the information. What is a leader? A leader guides you in the right direction. That's a leader. He inspires and guides you in the right direction. So we want a leader. Everyone wants a leader. Why are people going to so many motivational speakers and so many religious things? And so they want a leader. People want guidance. People want guidance. Why? Because they're bewildered. The whole Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's Arjuna said, now I'm a soul. I'm bewildered about my duties. I'm a soul surrendered unto you. Please lead me. Shishaste mam sadi tvam mam papanam. I'm giving myself to you. Please lead me. Of course, that doesn't discount the exchange between the guru and the teacher. so that the teacher's instructions are understood and clear. It doesn't negate the necessity for education, but it also doesn't necessitate the principle that you have to surrender to truth, which is represented by the guru. They're not mutually exclusive. They're both. So, we want to be guided. Everyone is looking for that. When you have a little bit of knowledge, how many people are knocking at your door? How many people want to see you? And I want to see certain people because I want answers. Things are very subtle because truth has to be applied. This truth is the application of the truth to a particular circumstance, and that takes someone who has realization of the truth. He knows what it is, he's applied it, he's understood it. We all want to know what to do. I think that would be our greatest prayer. God, just please tell me exactly what you want. And here it's explaining, well, if you become a devotee, if you surrender to God, then he will instruct you. And those instructions, sito brite, one of the favorable things mentioned in Upadeshamrita that we should cultivate is sito brite. We should follow the people ahead of us who have chalked out that path and have left the way for us to move. It's sometimes described like a great ocean, and your life depends on crossing the great ocean. You have two things. You can swim and you can figure it out yourself, or there's someone who went before you that could guide you in the most efficient way to get there. So, this is, and therefore it says in the Bhagavad Gita, when the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. When you cease taking dictation from the ego, which manifests in the senses and the desires of the senses to control and enjoy the world, then God becomes your leader within the heart. And if there's any doubt about what God is saying, then the God manifests externally in terms of the teacher. Because that same super soul is in the teacher's heart. So if you can't hear it directly, then the teacher will understand it, and he'll understand also from the heart. God will speak through him, and the teacher can make it clear and make it relevant that that voice that you heard in the heart is actually the voice of God and not your mind. Just like the example of Vyasadeva, when Vyasadeva didn't really know what the next step was, and he was so bewildered. He was confused. He was despondent. He was confused. Why am I despondent? I just edited all the Vedas and spent so much work and did service. And then he thought quietly, and he listened to his heart, and he heard the voice, "You have not sufficiently glorified Krishna." And then externally, his teacher came and said the same thing, to confirm it. It's good to have consultation, because we are motivated in instructing ourselves for sense gratification, and therefore a lot of times we're not the best absolute guide for ourselves. Doesn't discount going in the heart and trying to hear the heart. So, such a nice concept. So, Bhishma Dev is praying. We'll go on to the next verse. Tribhuvana Kamanam Tamala Varnam Ravikara Guravara Ambaram Dadani Papura Laka Kula Kula Vritanabjam Vijaya Shakaratir Astume Navadya. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. Now what's he doing? He's getting ready to leave the body, and he's investing his thinking, feeling, and willing in Krishna. He wants to focus on the soul as a devotee. What's he doing? He's praying. Prayers are very, very powerful, so he's praying. Sri Krishna is the intimate friend of Arjuna. He has appeared on this earth in his transcendental body, which resembles the bluish color of the tamal tree. His body attracts everyone in the three planetary systems, upper, middle, and lower. May his glittering yellow dress and his lotus face, covered with the paintings of sandalwood pulp, be the object of my attraction, and may I not desire fruitive results. So this is the dichotomy, or these are the two things, desiring fruitive results. What does fruitive results mean? I want something for myself, and let Krishna be the object of my attraction, rather than my own desires. Let Krishna be the object of my attraction. Let service be my consciousness and not enjoyment. And this is one of the ways in which it does become your object. Service becomes your object by developing a relationship with Krishna and by hearing about Krishna and by chanting Krishna's name. Actually, our process is a fenceless charity. Jiva Goswami mentions that there's a sadhana kram, a step-by-step process, that the name Namachintamani Krishna, Chaitanya Rasa Vigraha, Shudapurno, Nityamukta, Mukto, Vinatam Namanamino, that the name and the named are non-different. So by chanting the name without offense and the right attitude, the name, which is Krishna, the name gradually reveals more and more of himself. At a certain level of chanting, you contact the form of God. At another level of chanting, you contact the qualities of God. Another level of chanting, you contact the form of God, the activities of God, and your own spiritual form. It's a sadhana kram. That doesn't come cheaply. It comes by chanting offenselessly, first the name, then the form, then the qualities, then the pastimes. And when you come to the level of pastimes, the name also reveals who you are. And that's our basic process of awakening our relationship with Krishna. Muktir hitva surupena. Muktir hitva yata rupam surupena vivastita. Mukti means giving up and getting. Diksha also means diksha, giving and destroying. Kshatriya, one who protects from hurt. Diksha, that also means destroys. Diksha, it gives and it destroys. It destroys the bad things and then it gives the good things. And what is the good thing it gives after it destroys the bad things? Bhagavat Sarup Gyan, Sambandha Vishesh Gyan. It gives the form of God and your relationship with God. It reveals that. And it reveals that to one who surrenders to God and lets God become their leader, which means God will instruct you in the heart how to move closer to him. So this is his prayer, and this is the prayer of every devotee. Let the God become the object of our attraction, rather than the opposite sex, rather than money, rather than fame, rather than position, the dhanam, the janam, the sundarim, kavitam va jagadisha kamaye, mama janmani janda eshwari, bhagavat bhaktir. Let not these things, not these things, let God become our leader. And he's saying the same thing. Let the object of my attention not be to God, which means service to God, rather than the objects of these of this world to control. When Sri Krishna, by his own internal pleasure, appears on earth, he does so by the agency of his internal potency. The attractive features of his transcendental body are desired in all the three worlds, namely the upper, middle, and lower planetary systems. Nowhere in the universe are there such beautiful bodily features as those of Lord Krishna. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything material. This is the point. The point is what we are looking for is found in Krishna. Because we're looking for love, and therefore we're looking for the perfect object of love. Something that it can attract us to service. That's Krishna. And that's what we have to hear about, and that's what we have to realize, that's what we have to have conviction about. What we want is Krishna. And right now we don't want Krishna because we haven't let God become our leader and reveal the process. We haven't accepted that wholeheartedly so that God will reveal himself to us in a way that will be our object of attraction. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna. Therefore it's transcendental. Therefore, his transcendental body has nothing to do with anything material created. Arjuna is described here as the conqueror, and Krishna is described as the intimate friend. Bhishma Dev on his bed of arrows after the battle of Kurukshetra is remembering the particular dress of Lord Krishna, which he put on as the driver of Arjuna's chariot. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. So this has attracted him. He was on the battle and he saw God and he was aiming at God. And it was overwhelmingly attractive. It invokes such deep sentiments in his heart and faith that this is the most pleasing thing, God and the service to God. While fighting was going on between Arjuna and Bhishma, Bhishma's attraction was drawn by the glittering dress of Krishna, and indirectly he admired his so-called enemy Arjuna for possessing the Lord as his friend. Arjuna was always a conqueror because the Lord was his friend. Bhishma Dev takes this opportunity to address the Lord as Vijay Shoke, friend of Arjuna, because the Lord is pleased when he is addressed conjointly with his devotees who are related with him in different transcendental humors. While Krishna was the charioteer of Arjuna, sun rays glittered on the dress of the Lord, and the beautiful hue created by the reflection of such rays was never forgotten by Bhishma Dev. This is how God attracts us. He gives us a glimpse of himself, a glimpse of his name, and that gives us a conviction that this is the goal of life. You know, there's so many arguments I can give now for the existence of God. But the real reason why I believe is the experience of God. And that's the real reason why people believe more than anything else. The philosophy may support the reasonability of the choice I made, but it was something beyond just intellect. It was an experience, and that experience impels us further. So this is the goal, and this is Bhishma's goal. His goal is Krishna. Bhishma Dev, while Krishna was the charioteer, as a great fighter, Bhishma Dev, he was relishing the relation of Krishna in the chivalrous humor that's called Vira Ras. Vira Ras is an indirect experience. It's an indirect rasa. It's a secondary rasa. And what secondary rasas mean is that you experience your relationship with Krishna through a particular emotion that, mixed with that feeling of love, becomes so prominent that it appears to be a relation in itself. No one is, their relationship with Krishna is in chivalrous ras. It's either as a fan, a servant, a friend, a parent, or a lover. Those are the five relationships. Everyone is in one of them. But friendship or servitude can also be in chivalry. You like to see the value of your friend. And that turns you on so much that that almost becomes the relationship itself. I describe, like, you may have a friend, you may joke with them. And it's called hasiras. It's humor, but the joking is just an indirect way of expressing the friendship. It's not a relationship in itself. So here he's in viryaras. It's an indirect way of experiencing his relationship, which probably is mixed with I think it may be sankularas. It may be mixed with parental feelings, friendship, and servitude at the same time. As a great transcendental relationship to the Lord in any one of the different rasas, yuma is relished by the respective devotee in the highest ecstasy. Less intelligent mundaners who want to make a show of being transcendental related with the Lord artificially jump at once to the relation of conjugal love, imitating the damsels of Brajadam. So this is just the philosophy. It's a step-by-step process. And when people jump beyond their realizations, it's obvious that they have one or two motives. One is they're attracted to the mundane aspect of that relationship. If it's the gopis and Krishna, it's a manifestation of their sex desire. Or it's the two material enjoyments are sensual enjoyment and ego gratification. So it's either some sensual identification that they enjoy, or it's an ego gratification. Radhakund is the highest, I'm at Radhakund, I'm the highest. Gopi Bhav is the highest, I'm attracted to the Gopi, I'm the highest. Radhe, 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 Radhe. Bhujampa, who always mentions that in Lohi Bazaar, sometimes one of the shopkeepers will say, Haribo, Prabhu. But what is he saying? He's saying, I want your money. So people could say, Radhe, Radhe. But what they're really saying is, look how cool I am. Look how cool I am. And so Bhakti Siddhanta and Prabhupada are very strong about this, because as people became less and less qualified, the people who were smart is not just remembrance, because it comes, it says, you have to have a pure mind. You don't have to have a pure mind for remembrance. So smarin is not just remembrance, it's a deep remembrance. Smarin is a factual contact with God, not just an imaginary contact with God. So it's an advanced state. So people who artificially do this without being purified, their motives are questioned. And the authenticity of what they're doing is also questioned. It's not that there's no one that's qualified, but see what their service is. See what... There's nine symptoms of bhava mentioned in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur gives a commentary that these are the things that we should judge a person's advancement and not just his emotional sentiments that can be imitated. And one of them is viraktir, complete indifference to the world. Pridelessness is another one. There's no ego involved. You're not doing things for yourself. You're doing it for God. So this is such a cheap relationship with the Lord. The Lord exhibits only the base mentality of the mundaner. Mundaner, because one who has relished conjugal union with the Lord cannot be attached to worldly conjugal ras, which is condemned even by mundane ethics. So people who are not behaved, they don't have the real thing. Because when you have the real thing, you become detached. You become indifferent. So it's if you're attached to mundane rag, then there's not a question of having real deep spiritual rag. The eternal relationship, particular soul with the Lord, is evolved. It evolves as the heart becomes purified. A genuine relation of the living being with the Supreme Lord can take any form out of the five principal rasas, and it does not make any difference in transcendental degree to the genuine devotee. Bhishma Dev is a concrete example of this. And it should be observed how the general is transcendentally related with the Lord. Yuri Trago Rajavaduma Vishvak Kachitulita Shamavaya Lankritasya Mama Nishita Sharai Vidyavana Tvachi Valasatkwache Stu Krishna Atma. On the battlefield, this is Bhishma talking, where Sri Krishna tended Arjuna out of friendship, the flowing hair of Lord Krishna turned ashen due to the dust raised by the hoofs of the horses. Because of his labor, beads of sweat wetted his face. All these decorations, intensified by the wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, were enjoyed by him. Let my mind thus go. So this is chivalrous Ras. He likes the hero and someone who's wounded and fighting. That we love the hero too. We love the hero. Modern sports is based on the concept we love the hero. But this is relationship with the hero. So the hero is my friend, the hero is my friend, or the hero is my child, or the hero is my lover. And that heroic deeds are just so relishable because I have a proclivity, a transcendental proclivity for that sportsmanship, that chivalry. I have a proclivity for it. So I relish it. I relish my friend, the hero, or my son, the hero, or my master, the hero. And that's what Bhishma Dev, he's relishing his primary relationship with Krishna through the chivalrous Ras, his friend, or his servant, or his master, excuse me. He's relishing it. He's in battle. How valiant he is. Purport, the Lord is absolute form of eternity, bliss, and knowledge. As such, transcendental loving relations, namely Shanta, Dasya, Shakya, Vatsalya, and Madhurya, that is, neutrality, servitorship, fraternity, parental affection, conjugal love, is graciously accepted by the Lord when offered to the Lord in love and affection. Sri Bhishma Dev is a great devotee of the Lord in the relationship of servitorship. So he's Dasya. He has the mood of servant. Thus, his throwing of sharp arrows at the transcendental body of the Lord is as good as the worship of another devotee who throws soft roses upon him. So, he's serving, and he's serving in Krishna's desire for chivalry by fighting with him. And therefore, that his arrows, and he said they're for Krishna's pleasure, as every much as a rose is in the conjugal ras. It appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the actions he's committed against the person of the Lord. One of the transcendental vyabhichari bhavs, or transitory emotions that increases the mood of servitorship, is regret. I've made a mistake. I've done something wrong. And it's an intense emotion. But it's in, but why are you feeling that way? Because of your service to God. So it's increasing his service mood. It's related to his service mood. It appears that Bhishma Dev is repenting the action he committed against the person of the Lord. But factually, the Lord's body was not at all pain due to his transcendental existence. His body is not matter. Both he and his body are completely spiritual identity. Spirit is never pierced, burnt, dried, moistened. This is vividly explained in Bhagavad Gita. So also it is stated in the Skanda Purana. It is said that the spirit is always uncontaminated, indestructible. It cannot be distressed, nor can it be dried up. When Lord Vishnu in his incarnation appears before us, he appears like one of the conditioned souls, materially encaged, just to bewilder the asuras and the non-believers who are always alert to kill the Lord, even from the very beginning of his appearance. Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna, and Ravana wanted to kill Ram, because foolishly they were unaware of the fact the Lord is never killed, for the spirit is... We're going to stop there. Are there any questions? All right, well, anybody like to say hello so I know people are there?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Hanan and Surit. Thank you
nice
for
nice to hear from you again.
I do have a question, if you have a little bit time, Maharaj.
Yeah, I have time.
I was thinking about the point you made about how we make our decision and let Krishna be the leader. And I wanted to see if you can speak a little bit more about it in terms of, because I was hearing you speaking about nectar of instruction, niyam agraha, how we sometimes overdo or not do enough the rules and regulation. Can you connect it a little bit with how do we make those decisions?
Right. To rephrase your question. I said, you know, we should follow, you know, the Lord. We should, you know, we should try to connect and let the Lord be our leader. And that means that naturally, you know, to do what God wants. And God has so many rules and regulations in the Shastras. We know from Upadesha Shamrita that we can have too much affection for the rule. And so
exactly.
I would reconcile that.
Exactly.
I would reconcile that by saying that the following of the rule in that circumstance is the misapplication of the rule, and therefore it's not the will of God nor the instruction of his devotee. So we should follow, but we should understand. And the rules have to be applied. I see that, you know, because the world changes so much. It's very subtle. We have a deep, rich tradition, but we're standing with 2 feet in a modern world where the culture is so different. So how to apply those in the proper way for the purpose of the rule, which is to stabilize people. So sometimes I can see there's Niyama Agraha, or Niyama Agraha. There's Niyama Agraha, too little affection. We don't embrace any of the culture. We say, oh, it's all irrelevant. And then there's Niyama Agraha, that we have too much affection for the rule, and we apply it even though when it's not practical in a particular circumstance. So it all takes intelligence. Does that help your question?
Yeah, thank you, Maharaj. It gave me a little bit more to think
thank
about.
You thank so you so much. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello? Anybody else like to say or ask a question?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Gail, Hare Krishna.
This lecture was jam-packed with goodies. Really, really
What's
wonderful.
That?
Thank you so much. I say this lecture was jam-packed with goodies.
Really? It never fails, Gail. Every time where I feel that I failed, you say this is one of the best lectures you gave.
Well, I definitely didn't think that you would say that today because you sounded so up and everything.
I was. I think there were good points. I do.
Yeah, it was really nice, really sweet. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Gail. And Gail, it was so nice to see your daughter at my class, the second daughter, Iani.
Yeah.
And I had a nice little chat with her.
Yeah, I was always happy about that. Thank you.
You never told me she was so enlivened.
Yeah. Miracles happen.
Well, I don't know. She seems such a mature girl and so thoughtful.
Yeah,
very good. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hello, Maharaj. This is Shannon, Malati's sister.
Hey, congratulations. You're now the aunt of, right? Have you been over there many times?
Oh, I have. I have many times, yes.
Yes, that's great. Great to hear from you again. Thank you.
Yeah, I very much enjoyed your lecture today. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Shannon. Great.
Yes, very inspiring.
Thank you. And give my regards to your sister. I think I'll call her this week and see how she's doing.
I will. Wonderful.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay. We'll end for today. Bunch of open news.